You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're listening to The Monday Wire with Sherry and James. On to our next piece, music journalist Jess Fu wrote a piece for RNZ this morning responding to the racism and xenophobia experienced by the Chinese community. You can give it a read on RNZ. And we actually chatted it for quite a long time this morning because it's a bit of a difficult subject, especially as diaspora, both Jess and I experience racism growing up, and it's subtle racism. It's stuff that you start internalizing. It's stuff that you start normalizing and repressing. And it does really get to you. And also as diaspora, we don't fully understand the political situation in China. It's hard to understand what it's like living in a country that has really strict censorship laws, a place that, yeah, operates quite differently. But it is important, as I reiterate, that there's, you know, the actions of the Chinese government, and then there is the people who live and try their best in living in that kind of space and that environment. So I first begin by asking her to, she titled the article by saying that it's a myth that New Zealand is a very open and accepting place, and I asked her to explain that first.
Yeah, well, you know how New Zealand is portrayed overseas, clean, green, and like we always like to say that we're like multicultural and we always embrace that. It's like our public image overseas is like, you know, we're so progressive and like peaceful, especially like I was living in America last year and people were saying, wow, like New Zealand seems so great, you guys banned guns so quickly. You know, Jacinda took action really quickly after the Christchurch terrorist attacks, and like Americans were so impressed with that, and it is really impressive, but like little do they know that we've got some of our own issues to deal with too, like the xenophobic reactions from the coronavirus coverage has like really amped up a lot, but it's nothing new. It's been part of our history for such a long time, like anti-Chinese policies since like the late 1800s. It's still very deeply part of New Zealand history. It's something that we don't always acknowledge, but when it comes and like when it is quite, how would you say it, like overwhelming, especially growing up here.
Well, I think early this year when the news first broke out that there was a virus coming from China, my first thought was, fuck, like, there's going to be racism here. Like, I knew it. And
yeah,
and
totally.
You know what, it frustrates me and angers me that was my first thought, that racism directed at the Chinese community wasn't even something I was surprised about. I was like, it's coming.
So. Yeah, it's like expected almost. Yeah, people have really been using this as an excuse to be like, oh, we're, you know, protecting our kids, we're protecting our health, but it's not a Chinese virus. It's not like only affecting people of Chinese descent, but it is made to be out that way. It just happens to have started in Wuhan.
I guess there's a lot of misinformation as well that's been spreading around. That's something you touched on.
I have been picking up a lot on the New Zealand, you know, New Zealand Herald's coverage of it. It is very skewed and biased in a lot of ways. So first of all, they posted a video of a Chinese woman eating a bat, and they posted on their like Facebook page, like, this happened in Wuhan, the epicenter of the outbreak, and like later it was found out it was filmed in Palau, a Pacific nation. They did delete the article, but they've left the Facebook post. They did not, like, amend it or anything, or, like, address that what they published was wrong. They did, like, later publish something else, but it was, like, very briefly mentioned it was in Palau, you know? And just other things that they've also published, like, oh, China's secretly burning bodies. Oh, there's a mystery lab near the epicenter of the outbreak, which are all, like, misinformation, because then I've done a lot of scrolling, of course, and looking into this, because I'm just like, this is like so not true. But yeah, New Zealand Herald has been like really contradicting, because they've also posted like social media cracking down on misinformation, and one of the things that was listed as misinformation was the theory that the virus was created in a lab, which is like, yeah,
it's a bit hypocritical.
Yeah, it's very hypocritical, and just shows that like some news outlets aren't fact checking; they're kind of just posting to. I don't know. Yeah, it does show that like news sources aren't fact checking, and this kind of leads to like a lot of fake news, and especially when it comes from like a big publication, people do trust it. When especially media literacy isn't always taught in schools or is taught growing up, we don't question it and aren't critical of where the news came from. Is it reliable? Does the news publication have like a sort of agenda? People don't always ask those questions.
Yeah, I got real frustrated a few days ago. I can't remember which. It was one of the big news organizations. It was either Stuff or the Herald. And its headline was, passenger dies from plane from China. And so given the context, obviously someone who's just scrolling through would be like, oh my God, someone died on a plane from the coronavirus coming to New Zealand on a Chinese plane. And it was a family member who shared that with me, and they were freaking out. And you scroll to the bottom of the article, it says it has nothing to do with coronavirus. And so given the context, you shouldn't have those clickbait type of titles, because the implications are it's just building into that hysteria. And we bear the burden of racism that just grows from that.
Yeah, it is extremely harmful, especially the headlines so clickbaity, and people might not actually read the whole article. Especially when you put something at the end, people might not have gotten to the end and realized, oh, this is not what the headline was saying. But yeah, I also read something quite similar too. It was like children were vomiting on the plane, but like you read it, it's kind of like they were nervous, they were, you know, like plane sick.
There's also been instances of people from the Chinese community feeling impacts of racism. So do you mind speaking a little bit on that as well?
There have been reports of we're getting abused publicly, but there's also a lot of online abuse, especially if you're reading through comments. It isn't very nice what people are saying about the Chinese community here. And I've also heard people avoiding going to Chinese restaurants, which like does not make sense, because there is no report of like the coronavirus here at the moment. But people do think, oh, Chinese restaurants are dirty, and they might make me sick and everything. Yeah, it is. Sometimes it's not always explicit abuse. It can be like microaggressions. I did read that like a person was in the elevator, and like they were of Chinese descent, and the other people in the elevator were like holding their breath and like things like that. It's very small microaggressions that can like make you feel very comfortable and also like paranoid. Like the other day I was just out of town, went to this like small town fair just for fun, and like people were staring at me, but I don't know if I was just being paranoid or like, you know, they were just with, I was probably just paranoid that they were thinking these horrible things about me, which they might not have been, but it just like makes you so much more on edge.
Mm. I do the same. And, you know, I was walking around my hometown, which is predominantly Pākehā place on the shore. I'm like, am I being paranoid? But I think it's a way of us, when you grow up experiencing racism, you start to normalize a lot of microaggressions, and you start to just say, that's just how things are, and you take it as expected. So I do really understand that feeling, because I felt like people were staring at me and being really nervous around me.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like I haven't felt this, like, cautious about being outside. Yeah, I'm, like, talking to my parents, especially, like, my mom, it feels like there's also quite a bit of fear within the Chinese community about hanging out together, having a big gathering, and like, making other people worry that there's a big gathering of Chinese people, you know, that this, they might face some negativity towards that.
What do you think is the best way to break down this ignorance and to move forward?
I have family there, but I grew up here, and I've been back a few times, but it's a totally different culture in terms of what you can speak about and freedom of speech. And I think over here, what we can do as New Zealanders is be open-minded, stop judging. It's like, yeah, be open-minded. And like, the coverage of the coronavirus has really made people demonize Chinese people, like, and their eating habits, like, oh, I can't believe they eat frogs' legs and wild animals, that is disgusting. I think that is also, like, a very strong rhetoric, and a really strong racist rhetoric, because you can judge people and, like, oh, they're second-class citizens, they're unhygienic. That has really brought something up.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.